Howdy do, buggers. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Thursday, April 23rd. This is 2020. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have the lovely and talented Bob, Dr. Mac Levitis. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Kelly. Thank you for calling me lovely again.
I'm so glad you're here to talk to me today. You wrote a column for us last week about how to get things done, get work done when you're not at work.
Absolutely correct. Something I know a little about.
You do. This I know. Because you and I both. Doing it. Yeah, you and I have both lived the remote lifestyle for quite a while. I know part of what I like to do is it's just awareness of like how easy it is to sort of slack off and be able to set some of those boundaries pretty clearly. But you've got some actual concrete tips for people Absolutely. Who are doing this for the first time.
Yeah, absolutely, because when you're on your own, when you're working alone at a computer, there are so many rabbit holes you can fall down. I make a joke about it when I speak publicly. I have this slide where I show all the rabbit holes that I can think of, and it's like cat videos on YouTube and shopping for stuff you can't afford on Amazon and bidding, looking at things on eBay that you don't need, and you know, everybody's different. But there's just so much stuff one click away. You need to have a plan for dealing with such things. You know, you got to know that if you want to get your work done, you need to work.
There is that.
Every minute that you spend doing that is a minute you're not working, which means a minute later you'll be at the office or in the office, or a minute or a minute later you'll stay up tomorrow night. And I used to work until usually 11, 12 o'clock every night. And I thought I was really productive. I had a to-do list, and I rarely missed a deadline, although I pulled a lot of all-nighters because I wasn't prepared, because I didn't get the idea of pacing. Mm-hmm. My idea of pacing was to wait until the night before and then write the whole thing. And you don't do your best work that way. And it's really not conducive to being productive. Mm-hmm. It was fun. I fell down a lot of fun rabbit holes, but I was spending way too many hours in front of the keyboard. Mm-hmm. So I started to look at what was wrong. And the first thing I found out was a to-do list is not a plan. I was living off my to-do list, but I didn't have a plan for each day. I didn't really wake up and think, what do I need to accomplish today? Mm-hmm. I'd look at the to-do list and cherry pick the fun or easy stuff. And then I'd, you know, pat myself on the back for crossing off another item. But what would happen was the important stuff would catch up to me, and then I'd be pulling all-nighters. So the first thing I learned was I need a plan. I need to know what needs to be done today so that I can stay on track and make sure that it gets done.
Yeah.
So I actually keep a handwritten piece of paper on my desk every day with the hours of the day down the left side and a section for most important tasks. Mm-hmm. And you can download this. It's in the article. You can download it for free. I made my own after trying about half a dozen like things that you can buy, like self journal and bullet journal and getting things done. Mm-hmm. I tried a lot of people's planning systems and ended up with a real simple one for myself. And basically, I write down the left side, I write down all the things that need to be done. Then I isolate the three that are the most important and put them in a separate section where in red where I can see them.
Yeah.
And basically, that's my game plan for the day, and I try to adhere to it. So it might be 10 o'clock, work on Chapter 6 of GarageBand for Dummies. 11 o'clock, Inbox Zero. 12 o'clock, walk, drink water. 1 o'clock, write a column. 2 o'clock, finish up my phone call with so-and-so and do this and that. So I've got it kind of mapped out for my day, and I try to allow the amount of time I think the task should take. Mm-hmm. And I try to fill my day from about 8 in the morning to 5 in the afternoon.
Okay.
And it works for me. Everybody's different. So what I suggest is you download my, I call it Super Plan, the one-page planning worksheet. I like paper for two reasons. One, I collect fountain pens, you know, ink pens. And so I don't get much chance to write with them. So that's my, like, once a day I get to pick up a nice pen and write something.
Yep.
And the second is, if it's on my computer, it's going to be buried behind 1,800 other windows. Because I have 30 windows open at once.
Same.
And I would never see it again. If it's paper, I can keep it on top of the stacks of stuff around my office. Just to the right of my mouse, you know, it's mm-hmm. always on my desk and it's always on top of anything else. And so all day long, I've got this kind of silent reminder that I've got a timetable. You know, I've got mm-hmm. a schedule today. And if I dive down some rabbit holes, I'm going to have to stay at work longer, which I hate. So mm-hmm. It's carrot and stick, you know.
Oh, sure.
The carrot is I get to leave at 5 o'clock, mm-hmm. and I like that, and I'm willing to make sacrifices to do it. Now, the second thing is, besides having a plan, the thing that's really helped me the most, and I have attention deficit disorder, I have a terrible time keeping my ass in the chair and working. Mm-hmm. Much less not diving down rabbit holes. And so I use the Pomodoro technique. And yep. I know you're familiar with this because you read my book.
Yes.
But for those who aren't familiar, this was something invented by an Italian guy in the 1980s. And it was so simple. Here's how it works. You get a timer, any timer. You decide on a task. You set the timer for 25 minutes. And you work on one task until the timer rings. If you're interrupted, make a quick note and get back to work immediately, or deal with the interruption and restart the timer and do another 25 minutes. You want to avoid abandoning your session. So the objective is to work 25 straight minutes on one thing. Sometimes stuff happens, but most of the time, if you follow this, you'll mm-hmm. find in 25 minutes you did an hour of work.
Yeah.
And I've read research that says when you're in the zone, and I define being in the zone as when the words are flowing out of your fingers as fast as you can type them, you mm-hmm. know, when it's just coming out effortlessly. Mm-hmm. And it's so great when you get there, but if you're interrupted, it can take up to 22 minutes to get back in the zone.
Yeah.
And so if you can eliminate distractions for 25 minutes and focus on one thing, you can often do an hour of work in mm-hmm. 25 minutes, which adds up to I'm going home at 4 o'clock.
Right.
Now, the way the rest of it works is you do four mm-hmm. 25-minute sessions with short breaks between them, and then mm-hmm. when you get to the fourth session, you take a longer break. I ignore that completely. I take a longer break every time mm-hmm. because I need to stand up and move around a little between sessions. I can't just, like, 3 minutes and get back to typing. So I go do something else. Usually I will go in the garage and work on a woodworking project or something. So I'm mm-hmm. standing, and then I come back and back to the keyboard. And you just do this until you're done with all your work. Mm-hmm. Any timer will do. But if you go to the App Store, any App Store, really, iOS or Mac, you'll find a million they call Pomodoro timers or Pomodoro apps.
Yes. The one that I use.
Which one do you like?
It's free. I think it's either free or a dollar because I didn't think twice about getting it. And it's called Focus Keeper. And the reason that I like it, and this sounds really silly, but the reason that I like it is because it ticks. Because it actually does the ticking like the Pomodoro timer does. So the reason it's called Pomodoro is because that's the Italian word for tomato, and this was the tomato kitchen timer, was the one this guy used, and that's why he called it that.
Wait, I think I put a picture of it. Nope, I didn't have the picture. So, the picture's in the book, but it's not in the column. Anyway, I use one called ZoneBox that was $5 when I got it, and it's now free.
Okay.
And the two things I like. One, I don't know if it even has ticking. It might. If it did, I turned it off immediately because I don't like ticking.
Ah, okay.
different strokes. But what I do like is to see the amount of time remaining. In fact, I go crazy if I don't know how much time is left on the ticker.
Yeah. And I think so, you can, I think with Folkskeeper, you have the option of that. The two things I like about it are that it ticks, because for me, that's helpful. Because it's like, this is the time you're supposed to be doing a thing and being on task. Right. And so it's, for me, it's a little reminder. And it's not super loud. Like, I set the volume on my phone and it's not, you know, tick, tick, tick. It's not like that at all. It's a much quieter reminder. But also, Focus Keeper does the automatic breaks, and you set it for what you want those to be. So if you want to do 20-minute chunks and 5-minute breaks, or 30-minute chunks and 10-minute breaks, or 15-minute breaks, whatever, you just feed the preferences, and then it tells you what, and that, you know, like, it'll it'll flip automatically, and the ticking changes a little bit to let you know, and the background turns purple when it's break time. So it's a much, it's a very visual thing to be able to use really easily. And the other thing, like I said, that I like about it is that it does make the noise if I want it to. And that was the thing that I was looking for in timers that I couldn't find, because otherwise, like, I can just pick up my arm and say, set a timer for 20 minutes and the lady in my watch will take care of it for me.
I did mention that's not that helpful also, that you don't need to buy anything to do Pomodoros. You can just say, lady in your phone, set a timer for 25 minutes, please.
Right. And for me, that wasn't really helpful because I didn't have anything sort of in front of me to look at, and also I find the ticking really helpful. So
And I never did it, because when I relied on that, I just didn't do it. This way, I've got an app open with a list of things. So Zonebox lets me load up all the Pomodoros I want to do for the day all at once in a list, and then trigger them one at a time and delete them as I finish them. But the thing I really like is it shows me the amount of time left, both in numerical form, both in the menu bar and on the window, but it also fills the menu bar with purple.
Oh, nice.
Going That's across. Cool. So when it gets to the right corner, it's 100%. So you can just look up at your menu bar and know, oh, look, I'm almost done.
Yeah.
And I really like that, because I'm kind of like obsessive about, how much longer do I have to do this?
I'm the opposite, because I'm like, I set a timer. How much of it can I get done in that amount of time? And I'm like competing. So for me, that's the other thing, the timer helps.
I like being able to see how much time is left, because I egg myself on. I go, come on, you can finish that paragraph before the timer goes off.
Exactly.
And it makes me, I compete with myself, but I work harder.
Yeah, me too.
And in the column I did say, or you can just ask the S lady to set a timer for 25 minutes. It doesn't really matter as long as you do the 25 minutes. If you like ticking, get a ticky timer or get a kitchen timer. They tick.
They do. I didn't have one because I've used my watch and my phone forever to set all the timers in the kitchen, so I just let them do it. So,
Me too. I don't even know if we have a kitchen timer anymore.
Yeah, I'm not convinced that there's one.
But I haven't burnt pizza in so long. Ever since the S lady came into my life, I haven't burnt pizza.
Yeah. And yes, I did just look. And you can change the ticking sound in to nothing if you want on Focus Keeper.
So. I think I might have had Focus Keeper as one of the Pomodoro apps I like suggested in the book. I looked at about a dozen and used them all for a while, and ended up with Zonebox. But there were a bunch that I thought were really cool. There's another one that does this Eisenhower Matrix. Have you seen that?
Oh, no, but I love the Eisenhower Matrix.
It's an interesting concept. I haven't been able to really make it work for me, because I instinctively organize things into important and urgent and not important but urgent, and, you know, whatever the four quadrants are. But it's an interesting concept, and there's a few apps in the App Store that use that, and that might be helpful to some people.
Yeah. I think
because
all of this,
I can look at my list of things for the day and easily say which three are the most important. I don't really, you know, have a problem deciding what needs to be done first.
Yeah. I think all of this probably comes with an asterisk of, this is a thing that works for you or a thing that works for me. Like, I really enjoy the ticking of the timer. Right. You do not. But I think part of it also is, trying some of this out. Like, maybe the back of your brain goes, why would you want that to tick? That's ridiculous. But then if you do it, like you find that there's some value in it for you. So, you know, like all of this stuff, like kind of give it a shot and see if it's a thing that actually changes anything for you. Makes
I'm
things
gonna
a little
nicer. I'm
going
to try ticking again. I'm going to try ticking again. I mean, I sometimes listen to like random music or I don't listen to popular music with words.
No.
But I will listen to jazz or classical or I heard somewhere that Baroque music is really good for creativity. So I'll say to the S lady, play Baroque music.
Yeah. I heard it was good for concentration was a study
I read. Yeah. So concentration and creativity.
Yeah. So, I have a couple of Baroque playlists, but when I want to play, when I want to play something, like the closest I can come to pop music really is film scores. So I've built playlists of film score music that I like because like you, I spend a lot of my day assembling words, so I can't listen to words while I'm trying to put together my own. I'm not wired like that.
I start typing them into my column. It's like if I'm listening to music, all of a sudden I see on the page, please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste.
Yeah,
so, and where'd that come from?
And I can't because there's just too much karaoke in my heart and I just end up singing along instead of doing anything useful. So
exactly.
That's really
what I never listen to music with lyrics when I'm trying to accomplish anything.
I really can't. Mr. Kelly can, and I don't know how he does it. But I can't. So that's also one of my pro tips would be sort of know your limitations and it doesn't matter what they are. Just know them. Like maybe you are a person who can listen to the 80s channel on Apple Music all day long while you work. And that's amazing. You do you. I cannot. So I listen to like the John Williams channel that I've put together on Apple Music so that I can listen to stuff.
That's actually a really good idea is film scores because they have no lyrics.
But it's really familiar, and it's music that I love.
And it's not, you know, it's not pop music that I'm going to sing along with.
Right.
I might hum along, but I can do that and write, and I don't end up writing.
Yes, and I listen, and it's music that I know and I'm familiar with and enjoy most of the time.
So what soundtracks do you like?
John Williams. A lot of John Williams.
John Williams. The John Williams channel.
I will put one together for you.
John Williams.
Because I have a bunch. I have a couple of film score channels that I've tuned, and I'll share them with you.
That would be delightful.
They make me
so
happy.
You are so kind. You are so kind.
Like I said, I really enjoy it. Another thing I will listen to sometimes is ambient sound.
I have one of those, too.
So,
an ambient sound player that's got, like, forest and rushing leaves and running water and waves.
Yeah, I have some with like outside stuff sometimes. And I have some with like coffee shop and things like that. So it just sort of sounds like I'm somewhere else, which I have enjoyed more now that I can't actually be in any of those places. So
see, I used to like going to Starbucks and putting on the coffee shop soundtrack in my headphones. I don't know why. I just got a kick out of it.
I'm not surprised.
It's meta. It's meta.
It's very meta. So, yeah, like I said, all this stuff kind of comes with the asterisk of, like, give it a shot. Maybe it's a thing that works for you. Maybe it doesn't. But you kind of have to be open to trying it.
And
that's
the things I learned,
like, that's how Bob and I both have gotten where we are with being able to have anything resembling productivity while not working in an office with other people is like, I tried it and it didn't work. But I tried this other thing and it's a lot better.
And that's the whole, you know, it's funny, but when Brian was editing Working Smarter, he said, this is like a smorgasbord of tips for people to try.
Yes.
And I said, that's exactly what I was hoping for, because I tried so many things and a lot of them were good. They just weren't good for me and my workflow. But they might be great for you. And since I knew about all these things, I included a lot of stuff I don't do. That might be just the ticket for someone else.
Right.
And that's the thing I learned is we're all so different that the formula for productivity cannot be canned. It can't be, it's not a template. Everybody's different.
Yeah.
So try all this stuff. The other thing is I did a lot of research on habits. And one of the things I learned was it takes like 63 days to ingrain a habit, not 21 or whatever it is that the popular, you know, you see it in articles all the time. Well, it's a lot longer than has been bandied about. And the thing is, you should try this stuff. And if it works or sort of works, don't give up right away. You know, don't do it for a few days and say, meh. If it's sort of working and you think it might get better, stick with it for a month.
Yeah.
If you can, stick with it for a couple before you make your final decision. Because really, I tried Pomodoros and said, this is too fussy. You know, too much to do.
Yeah.
And then I came back to it and thought, yeah, you know what? I think this might be what I need. And it was. And mm-hmm. So, you know, just stick with this stuff and figure out what works for you. Oh, the other thing is I have this great cushion. It's a lumbar support for my chair, mm-hmm. but it has like backpack shoulder straps. And I can actually strap my ass into the chair. Can I say that? I guess I can. This is a podcast. No. All right. Believe me. But basically, I strap myself to the chair. And if I try to get up, it reminds me that I'm supposed to be working for the next 21 minutes.
Yep.
So I don't do it all the time. But when I'm trying my best to not work, sometimes I will. Because that mm-hmm. reminds me, hey, you know, you got lots to do today. And if you're not in the chair, you're not doing it.
Yeah. So we're going to have to leave it there. You have more in your article. And I will make sure for all of our listeners that I put the link to my Apple Music channel in the show notes so people can pick that up. Yeah. Most of my playlists are public, and I have some pretty specific ones. The one I get teased a lot for is the one that I use when I'm mowing the lawn, but like mowing my lawn is literally a mile to go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. I have a lot of lawn. So
the one I get the best feedback on is called A Twisted Christmas. It's what I listen to in December.
Okay, Bob and I are going to start a music podcast, so stay tuned for that later. We have to call it for Daily Observations today. If you have tips that you use, that would be awesome. If you have tips that you want to share, or if there are things that you've picked up that you want to make sure other people know about, you can get us at observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. As always, Bob, thank you so much for coming by to talk to me today.
Thanks again for having me. Tune in next week for stuff that's free because of the zombie apocalypse. That's my next column coming up soon.
Spoiler alert. That's going to do it for us for today. I'm your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. I have to edit anyway, so I'm just going to make a dramatic pause. I'm your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. Be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there. We'll be right back.